welcome to the first Anisha.com podcast. Today I'll be reading my Mother's Day post from years ago. So sit back, enjoy, read along if you like, or don't. It's all good. I hate reading. I'll see you on the other end. People, grab your crackers. It's about to get cheesy. You're about to hear some heavy stuff. Like, grab a wheelbarrow with those cheese and crackers kind of heavy. Not to build it up too much, but if you understand what I'm about to put out into the world, then God bless you. If you don't, then pull up a chair, get nice and slightly uncomfortable, and indulge me while I walk you through the difference between a mother and a mum. So basically, we come from inside this other person's body, and for some reason, our birthdays are a celebration of the miracle and not the miracle worker. Jesus gets his whole religion based on him, and all he did was split some bread, turn some water to wine, and tell some people they were forgiven, and they didn't have to sacrifice goats anymore. For the majority though, your mom didn't just split some bread. She gives you everything you need to survive. She loves you without any limit or condition, and she's made sacrifices for you which you couldn't even imagine. Okay, I'll stop with the Jesus motif. Don't come after me with pitchforks or anything, okay? I'm just saying, our moms give us their entire lives and get one day in return. I present Mother's Day. I'd like to firstly make the point that we're living in a somewhat progressive age where the circumstances which one is born in becomes less and less important to how their life plays out. Gender roles and the typical family structure are so much less on a pedestal, which I think is great for two reasons. The first being that no matter how well any family, or indeed any individual person, maintains an outward appearance of being perfectly A-grade awesome all the time, things are always uglier up close. We're well on the way to finding value in the cold, hard truth of things. You know when your parents always told you something like, just wait until you get out into the big wide world, what will you do then? Honestly, you've always been in this big, terrible wide world. It only shocks you to see the truth of it because you were sheltered from it, not because it's actually that scary. The way we're going with the freedom of conversation about gender, sexuality, birth methods, etc., the shock soon won't exist. The second you're made aware of these very real things that go on within families or the absence of one, you see everything else in contrast. If some bratty little kid were aware of the consequences of all that bad stuff, then maybe this kid won't grow up to be a brat. Maybe they'll grow up seeing the bigger picture, not fixated on trivial matters, making the right decisions and having a hell of more empathy for people in real situations. Remember when you wouldn't eat your dinner because it was yucky and your mum would tell you something about the starving kids in Africa and how you should be grateful to have anything at all? Same thing, if you have no perspective, no starving kid in Africa to compare yourself to, then you grow up selfish and naive until something happens directly to you and you have some sort of painful wake-up call. The world isn't rainbows and butterflies. It shouldn't be. Maybe if we didn't decide to shelter kids as much, then other children wouldn't end up in these bad situations because they grow up and as parents, they know the consequences of those situations. Maybe there would be more decent people who'd actually do something to help if they knew how real those situations are from the get-go. The second is that this flexibility of family structure puts emphasis on the whole to be happy in a perfect family and a perfect life and just the notion that there is only one way to be happy and that happiness is what people need. As humans, we need one thing, and as cheesy as it sounds, it's love. No one, and I mean no one, is without love. Our problem is that love comes in so many forms, it comes through in so many ways, and they clash. A mother is someone who gives birth to a child. That in itself must take an immense amount of love. How else do you get the strength to carry another human being for 9 months of your life, and then do it all over again when you want another child? The love has to be worth it. I don't doubt that it would be really, really hard not to love that child with everything you have. But there are stronger loves. And some people are too weak to resist what they think will bring them that. As I said, everyone needs love, but some people don't get enough of the right kind, and then I guess it just ends up as this constant craving. Unfortunately, the parents I was born to found this love they craved in drugs. I can't say much on the part of my mother, because I was quite young when my siblings and I were separated from her, but my father, in times where he didn't see the love he needed in his life, placed drugs on his list of priorities as first. When he had love in his life, in the form of myself, my stepmom, even though she's so much more than that, and my siblings, he gave love where he saw love was due. Eventually, this love that would have saved him clashed with the drugs and the alcohol, and he found that the bad was all he was left with. Meanwhile, my uncle and auntie took me in. The kind of love and strength that they showed makes them my parents. That love is so strong that the idea that I'm supposed to be in any other family is completely foreign to me. That right there is the difference between a mother and a mum. All that above just proved my point. My siblings and I learned to be much more grateful for the love that we receive, and we are capable of giving that back so much more because we've experienced firsthand what happens without it. They are proof to me that you can find love no matter how bad your life gets, and that it'll pull you through time and time again if you let it. We are better people when we acknowledge the ugly truth and can adjust our priorities accordingly. This perspective means I know better where my place is in the world, and indeed as human beings, to know our purpose and place in the world is a pretty big question, right? As I said, the answer is love, no matter where it comes from or how it manifests, regardless of whether you get it from the person who gave birth to you or who shares your blood, whoever made room for you in their home and hearts, whoever viewed you as more important than the typical family structure, or if you get it from some random who just met you and thought, hey, she seems nice, or sure enough, if your love comes from within yourself, which it should, wherever you get it from, or how you take it on, or what you make from it is entirely up to you. But the fact that all human beings have and need love is set in stone. So what I'm trying to get at is that when I ask, can anyone be a mother? The answer is yes, a million times over. I'm not saying that it's always easy or fun, but it's necessary. It's also necessary to understand that pushing a baby out of your hoo-ha doesn't make you a mum, though. It's that honest to God special love that makes you a mum. Some people don't have or make the choice to be a mother, but literally everyone on this earth has a responsibility to show love for other people. It's a whole other ballpark when some people hold that responsibility so dearly that they feel a responsibility to love those outside their direct bloodline. I'm acutely aware of the fact that I have little idea what I'm talking about. Obviously, I'm not a mother, and how many times have we all heard that you'll understand when you have your own kids? And I guess I will, but for now, this is my understanding. I love you, Mum. Happy Mother's Day. Hi, friend. Thank you for making it to the end of the podcast. You're still here, so drop a like or a follow or whatever's applicable to whatever platform you're listening on. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Bye.